Politics runs in cycles. I think you must know that. Governments are simply elected to be defeated. The wheel will turn. When advocacy comes back into vogue, and it will, okay, will we do anything differently? This is the really annoying part. Okay? Let's face it, in the last provincial election, 77-2, the Liberals weren't so much elected as the NDP was thrown out. Okay? And I think I could say the same thing about what happened in the Vancouver municipal election. One party had so annoyed the population with the transit stuff, with their indifference, with their tired attitude, and I think probably how they dealt with poor Philip Owen, mm-hmm. that they got thrown out. In fact, I think you could textbook it and say, let's take a look at how the incumbent party ran their election, and when you decide to run for something, do the exact opposite. Because they did every possible thing wrong. And to be truthful, Larry Campbell and the crew did a lot of things right. Okay? A lot of things right. But we lost big. And when I say we, the group who believed in a socialist vision, a left vision, a people vision, we really lost. Like, huge loss. And I'll tell you, it would have been worse if the Liberals had run a more credible candidate against Jenny Kwan. She would have lost too. You know, that one was stolen. They didn't have a very good candidate. There's two people left. That's a screaming indictment of our belief in the rights of people. Now, you notice a pattern here. I go back far enough in politics and in BC. Remember when anybody here around and working in the field when the Dave Barrett government was elected? Okay? We were very happy. We were happy because we were throwing out a tired old government and bringing in the forces of good. This would be right. This would be good. Right? And all they did was, in about 3.5 years, they pissed off the province of BC. Right? And elected the son of. Okay? Because we so annoyed the general population. They ran their course. It flipped from Mr. Bennett to Mr. Van Der Zandt to Ms. Johnson. In a small sidelight, my organization delivers homeless services for men in South Fraser. We ran two homes very quietly for 10 years, good homes. And we've lobbied hard for a number of years and have managed to put aside a sizable chunk of federal provincial money, and we're building a state-of-the-art men's shelter in Surrey and King George Highway. I'm going to. We bought the former home of Rita Johnson. Tore it down. I've never seen so much shag carpeting in my life. Yeah. I suggested we name the shelter after her. My lawyer said there would probably be a lawsuit.
I was disappointed you didn't let us come and get souvenirs out of the house.
You wouldn't have wanted souvenirs out of the house. I've never seen lampshade made out of swag carpeting before. I gave that one to Daryl Ferner. We had an NDP come in under Mr. Harcourt, and once again, the big we, celebrated a great electoral victory, not realizing maybe that the rascals had been thrown out more than the left had been elected. And it ran from him to Mr. Clark, and like it or not, Mr. Clark stole the second one. Okay, he stole the second one. And when I think strategically, I almost wish he'd lost the second one, because that would have left a strong, viable opposition who could have taken a look and said, wait a minute, how do we drop the ball? How do we fix this? How do we act as a strong voice for change in this province? But my vision of a perfect government is always a minority government with the left as the decision-making rump who could hold them. You know, you look back in the 60s and 70s in the federal government and a strong NDP supporting a morally corrupt Liberal Party produced a lot of good social change because the Liberals simply wanted to stay elected and the NDP kept them there on certain conditions. When we lose that, for some reason, when the left gets elected, it goes to our heads. We're like drunks. We spend and spend and spend. We become arrogant and rude. And then we get thrown out into the dark. And I get the sense this is a fairly long out into the dark. Okay? So imagine for a moment that we were going into an election that could be won. We have to take a look at not how to win an election. Because in BC, people don't win elections. They lose elections, and somebody drops in by default. I'm sorry, that's the way I'm seeing it again and again and again. So we're not winning so much as we're taking something. Wouldn't it be nice to stay for 3 or 4 or 5 terms? Have a 10 or 15 year vision of change. Not feel the need to do it all in the first 35 minutes. Okay? And thus scare the bejeebers out of people and have them say, my God, it sounded so good in theory. These guys aren't kidding. That you bring about change orderly, slowly, remembering that the first rule of government is, if we're not going to get elected to a second term, how the hell do we keep the energy going? And the Liberal government was able to put the cuts into place because people were tired of what they thought was pork barreling by the last government. Sorry, that's all it is to it. They were able to envision an absolute terrible gutting of the welfare system because they could make a case that the welfare system was fat and out of control, that there was no monitoring, that there was no expectation that able-bodied people worked. And as a result, in a classic right move, if you want to get rid of people who don't deserve welfare, do a sweeping approach to it. Get rid of them and everybody. It's a shotgun blast approach to governance. That you shoot a shotgun, it covers a wide swath, takes out who you want, but the collateral damage is truly enormous. And they knew they could do it for the first 2 years because although they would fall, they had a clean 2-year vision after that. And don't think for one second that they'll sit down next June and say, now, what the heck do we do now? It's a 4-year vision. 2 years of blight, 2 years of love. They know that. They will next June, probably, do a significant cabinet shuffle. You mark it in your daytimers. You know, I'm prepared to be wrong on this one, but I have no doubt I am planning my life around their schedule. Okay? You would not be unwise to do much of the same thing yourselves. Now let me tell you a story. Okay? And this is a story for me that basically tells a tale. I was on the board of LSS. We were approached by the government and told, we need a 40% cut. The staff put together an ugly, ugly format and budget. It would have met the government's need, but truthfully, it was an ugly, ugly thing. And it was presented to the board of directors. And we debated long and hard about what to do about this budget. In the end, we voted against the budget. We said, no, we will not impose this budget. My belief was we weren't really voting on a 40% cutback to LSS. We were simply voting on who would implement it. Okay? My colleagues, I think, honorably believed that if we said no and stood firm, the government would come back to us and say to us nicely, can't you do better than that? We'll negotiate. I didn't believe for one second that a brand new government with a 77-2 mandate who felt on top of the world would negotiate anything with anybody. My belief was, when you're on a board like LSS, we had a number of years where the money was okay, where we didn't have to make any ugly decisions. Most of our decisions were nice decisions. We got together, we had a bite to eat, we talked with colleagues, we debated good points, it was stimulating, but our hearts weren't torn. This was a chance, to my mind, this is why you have boards. Not to do the easy stuff, but to do the ugly stuff. And my belief was, I tell you now, I voted in favor of the budget. I did it for 2 reasons. One, I believe without any doubt at all, the budget was coming. And I believe that the board could possibly work to support the staff in doing ugly work, could lobby incessantly and quietly to get some of that money back, and if we could just hang on for the 2 years, I truly believed there would be money coming back. We were fired really quickly. I was right. They fired us in a heartbeat, as I knew they would. They put in a trustee who immediately implemented the full 40% cuts. That's her job. And when the government comes back and puts together a new board for LSS, which they will do, this time out, it will be a fully appointed board. There'll be no citizen representation from groups. We lost that window. And I think that sometimes, as a field, we need to be strategic. We need to take a look at what we're doing long term. And that means sometimes voting for things that we don't believe in ethically, but that we understand strategically are part of a pathway to what's next. And that's not always easy. But today, there is no board of directors at LSS. And the trustee, although a good woman, is not going to be able to support the staff in the way the board could, is not going to be able to do the committee work the board did, is not going to be able to sniff the wind and say, I smell fear, time to lobby. Okay? So I'm asking you to think strategically. Don't worry about the one-off rally. Worry about, for instance, all of you have MLAs. Talk to them quarterly, not to scream at them, because chances are if I come to you and scream at you for 15 minutes and say, see you in 3 months, I don't know if you're going to be available to me in 3 months. Talk to them. Don't ask for nothing. Educate them. Explain to them the way of the world. And come back and do it again. And do it again. And do it again. In my agency, we have seven Surrey MLAs. Twice a year, we meet with them. We divide with my managers, and we go out and meet with them. We give them information. We tell them what's going on in the agency, because they're our local MLAs. We'll take them on a bus tour of our program sites. We'll show them around. We talk to them. We keep at them. We keep at them. And we'll do that for every day that they're in power. And when it becomes clear to me that there is something called opposition, then we will spread our mission and we'll begin to talk to them. Right now, there's not much of an opposition in Surrey, so I'm biding my time. And we will work with whoever is coming next. Slow and steady, because the wheel will turn. Okay? Now, I'm pretty close to running out of time because I've gone over my time. So I got other stuff, but I think I'll hold on it because I would believe that break and coffee is probably significantly more important than anything else. I've got to tell you one last thing, though. The work we do as advocates, as lay advocates, as systemic advocates, as neighborhood advocates, regardless of working with the disabled, seniors, women's programs, Aboriginal groups, it's always been important. It was an important facet that we did when we worked with the Social Credit Party. It was important when we did it when we worked with the NDP Party. It's important when we do it with the Liberal Party. And it will be important with whoever is the next government, whether it's Liberal, whether it's NDP, whether it's Green, or whether it's something entirely different. The role of advocates is to prod and annoy and bear witness. And don't think for a second that if a particular government comes into power, our work is done. Our role is to switch and say, how can I prod you? How can I add voice to you? Because opposition isn't the same as government. And our role, in some ways, is to be a conscience and a voice for people in the province of BC who do not have that right, or that privilege, or that ability at this point in time. Thanks for having me here. I hope you have a great conference. and the government looks good. The protesters look bad, and we take a step